Harper Audio presents The Blinds, a novel by Adam Sternberg, performed by Stephen Mendel. You could die just the same on a sunny day. James Joyce, a portrait of the artist as a young man. Who wants a smart sheriff? Jim Thompson, population 1280. She's old enough at 36 to remember flashes of other places, other lives. But her son is only 8 years old, which means he was born right here in the blinds. She was 4 months pregnant on the day she arrived, her secret just starting to show. If the intake officer noticed, he didn't say anything about it as he sat her down at a folding table in the intake trailer and explained to her the rules of her new home. No visitors, no contact, no return. Then he taught her how to properly pronounce the town's official name. Sejura. Rhymes with tempura, he said, before telling her not to worry too much about it, since everyone just calls it the blinds. Sejura. A bad name, she thought then and thinks now, with too many vowels and in all the wrong places. A bad name for a bad place. But then, what real choice did she have? Reclining now at 2 a.m. on the wooden steps of her front porch, she pulls out a fresh pack of cigarettes. The night is so quiet that unwrapping the cellophane sounds like a faraway bonfire. As she strips the pack, she looks over the surrounding blocks of homes with their rows of identical cinder block bungalows, each with the same slightly elevated wooden porch, the same scrubby patch of modest yard. Some people here maintain the pretense of giving a shit, planting flowers, mowing grass, keeping their porches swept clean, while others let it all grow wild and just wait for whatever's coming next. She glances down the street and counts the lights still on at this hour. 2, maybe 3 households. Most everyone else is sleeping, which she should be too. She definitely shouldn't be smoking. Well, she doesn't smoke, she tells herself as she pulls a cigarette free from the pack. After the intake officer explained to her how things would work in the blinds, the rules, the prohibitions, the conditions, the privations, he asked her to choose a new name. He didn't know her real name, and by that point, neither did she. He passed her 2 pieces of paper, a list of the names of famous movie stars and a list of ex-vice presidents. One name from one list, one name from the other, he told her. She scanned the lists. She didn't remember much about who she used to be, but she had a feeling deep down that she wasn't an Ava, or an Ingrid, or a Judy as much as she loved Judy Garland. That much she remembered. Did you do this too? She asked the officer, more as a stalling tactic than anything else. Yes, ma'am, that's the rules.
So what did you choose?
Cooper.
Like Gary Cooper?
He nodded. She laughed.
Of course you did.
She pointed to a name far down among the movie stars.
How about Francis Farmer? I'll take Francis. Fran for short.
The officer wrote the first name down on her intake form. You'll need a last name too, he said, and gestured to the sheet of vice presidents. She looked it over, then picked the first name she saw, right at the top.
Adams. Fran Adams.
The intake officer wrote her full name on the form.
You got a first name, Cooper? She asked him.
Calvin. Cal for short, or so I imagine. We'll see what sticks. The officer signed the paper, held a hand stamp over it, then paused. You sure you don't want to go with Marilyn? Audrey? Something more glamorous? They're all available.
I like Francis. Francis was Judy Garland's real name. Francis Gum. I like that.
The officer nodded, stamped her paper, then slipped it into a folder. Welcome to Oz, Francis, he said. On her front steps, 8 years later, under a sky saturated with stars, Fran Adams wedges the unlit cigarette between her lips. She enjoys this drawn-out moment. The delicious anticipation that, in many ways, is better for her than the smoking itself. She leans forward,
producing her lighter.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?